Greetings to each one in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be here with you at Loyola. And I also bring greetings from Lakeview and invite you to come visit us there if you have opportunity, or just make it happen. We enjoy having visitors. Well, as was already mentioned, the topic for this evening is dealing with the stresses of parenting. So the title suggests that this is a reality for parents, and I think every parent here probably knows something about that. And I would like to say, first of all, that I'm not sure why exactly I was given this assignment, other than the fact that God probably wanted me to learn how to deal with the stresses in my own home. I certainly don't feel like I have achieved in this area. We have five children, ranging from 1 to 10. So in many ways, I feel like I'm very much in that intense stage and still have so much to learn. We're going to see what God has for us. I'd like to, first of all, just try to define some of these terms. What is parenting? Parenting is what the dictionary says. Parenting is the process of promoting and supporting the physical, emotional, social, financial, intellectual, and I'm going to add spiritual development of a child from infancy to adulthood. And you look at culture around us, culture has so much reduced parenting to simply providing care, seeing that the children are fed, have clothes, a bed, and some quality time. But Christian parents, all parents really, have so much more than that. We as parents have a specific calling to teach our children, love our children, and show them who God is, right? And it's not something that we do just at a scheduled time every day. Yes, we have family worship, but it's something that is done throughout the day. And oftentimes when we're in the middle of doing something important already and we're called to deal with the needs of our children and help them see the bigger picture as they relate to life. And so I believe that it is somewhat natural that we face some stress in trying to achieve our important role as a parent. But I believe there are things we can do to relieve stress, to aid us in our stresses, to help lessen those stresses, or even possibly take away some that we face as parents. And I would like to define this term stress. What is stress? Well, this word means a condition of extreme difficulty, pressure, or strain. And maybe your mind already goes to something that just happened in your home this past week. I don't know. I'll just give you a personal example. This past winter, my wife called me one Wednesday afternoon and said one of the children has the flu. And it was Wednesday, so we had prayer meeting that evening, so that meant only part of the family would go to prayer meeting. So we sat down at the supper table that evening, and during supper, two more of the children came down with the flu. And by the time supper was over, I was on the recliner. And I think by about bedtime, our oldest son came down with it, and during the night, our youngest came down with it. And my wife was literally running between children with the bucket and still couldn't keep up. It was almost funny. But just those are things we face: stress, pressure, extreme difficulty, and we're tempted to react wrongly in those times. Or imagine with me, men, you had a hard day at work, you're tired, a lot of your patience has been spent. You come home and you find that your wife had a hard day too. The house is in disarray, the children are into trouble, the baby needs fed, supper's not ready, and there's piles of wash that needs folded yet and put away. And the minute you step in the door, you find that you're still on duty when all you feel like doing is sitting back and relaxing. Maybe you aren't that way. But these are things that I believe are probably native to every home. How do we respond under pressure, under stress, under pressure? Well, we're going to look at a number of helps in dealing with the stresses of parenting, and I'm sure there will be much more than what I can share this evening. But hopefully we can glean some help. Number one, understand my own weakness and rely on God for strength. In 2 Corinthians 12, it talks about Paul's thorn in the flesh. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Okay? Hard things. "In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I find it fascinating that Paul believed that strength was only possible through weakness, and this caused him to glory in difficulty, something he looked forward to, because that's when God could give him strength to face what he was facing. If we never think we are weak, then we will never be able to experience the power of God in our lives. It's when we are weak that God can step in and strengthen our own feeble bodies and spirits and give us grace. What do we do when we feel weak and stressed out? One of our family reunions, in a time of sharing, one of the uncles mentioned how that as a child, one time he could not find his mama. He looked all over, and finally he found her in the bedroom, kneeling beside her bed, praying in the middle of the day. And he mentioned how this picture of his mama praying in the middle of the day like that really impacted his life. And something he still sees today as he thinks about his mama. This example really challenged my life as I heard him share that. And I think I'm safe in saying that we become most stressed out, or most vulnerable to stress, maybe I should say, when we try to run life without God. And I know that's not our intent. But we know our tendency as humans, under pressure, under stress, with so much to do, to let God out of the picture. How often do we sit at the feet of Jesus asking and seeking help? 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually." And also thought of the widow in Luke 18, where Jesus said He would provide for her, lest He would be wearied by her continual coming. And I love that picture. That widow was praying, seeking God's face continually, you could say. And God, or Christ, provided for her. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. It means to inquire, consult, ask for. And then it goes on to say how often. Not once, not twice, but continually. Continually. If you are a parent who is facing stress and are trying to deal with it, start by seeking God's face. Not just once a day, but throughout the day. Just take the time to seek God's face in prayer. And I believe if we want it bad enough, we will make that happen. If we want to deal with the stresses of parenting in a right way, a Christ-like way, we will ask for God's help. We will want His help. And we could look at a lot of scriptures that, especially in the Old Testament, where we see people going to battle without God's blessing, and it just resulted in chaos. It resulted in defeat. And we know that many in history have tried dealing with the stresses of parenting without God in the picture, and it ended in chaos and defeat. Jesus pleads that we come to him. Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Parenting is a life of laboring. A life of laboring under the burden of responsibility. But Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He doesn't say stress. He says the opposite of that. So he says, "Come unto me, and I'm going to give you what you're looking for, and that is rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus has the answers to all of life's perplexities. We have the Word of God in our hands. He cares about us in our role as parents. He really does. He gave us the children, our children, for us to care for. And we need to understand our own weakness to do this of ourselves. We need to yoke with Christ, and he will help carry the burdens and stresses and help us through them. And I believe the end result will be just like that verse says. It will be rest. There will be rest. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Psalm 55:22. He won't let us go under. Think of that beautiful thought of God sustaining those who call upon him. Number two, another help. Have a vision and keep it in focus. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." This word vision means revelation. In Bible times, there were many prophets, men of God, who received a revelation from God, revealed truth. But today, we have the truth of God's word in our hands. And just like was shared in the devotional, God wants to speak to us through his truth, through his word that he has given to us. And what are we doing with it? Those who love God desire truth in their hearts because they believe it will affect their destiny ultimately, but it will also affect their everyday choices as they relate to their families and even in the stresses of life. They desire that vision, that revelation from God that will give them that heavenly perspective to keep as their goal. Now, if you look at this word perish, it means something different than I always thought. It means to let loose, to unbind, become lawless. And a form of this word is used in relation to Aaron when he allowed the Israelites to get out of hand when Moses was up on the mountains talking with God. Let them get out of hand. And everything was loosed, unbound. There was no law guiding them. So where there is no vision, the people perish. They get out of hand. There's nothing to guide them. Parents, we need a vision. And keep that vision in focus if we're going to make it through the rough waters of parenting. There needs to be established truth, a law, and we know that needs to be God's word. It requires that we diligently read it, allow it to give us that eternal perspective of raising our children. I recently asked a brother, when I was thinking about this subject, asked him how he made it through the years of parenting. One of the things he told me was that he wanted his children to be raised differently than how he was raised. And he came from a poor home setting. But that told me that he had a vision. He wanted something different for his children. He wanted something much better. He shared that it was not without stress and challenges. But he knew what he wanted. He wanted God's way above all. As we face the challenges of parenting, having a clear vision that we continually come back to in those times of stress will guide us in making the right choices when in those times of stress. If we don't have that, it's so easy to become loose, unbound, lawless. Allow the carnal nature to take over. That clear vision of our children having eternal souls, and that we only have a small window of time to influence them and show them who God is, should help us in those moments. We want them to find God. Will I be able to show them who God is without a vision, without focusing on that vision, and without truth guiding my life? God help us. And I believe this vision is something that needs to be renewed every day as I wake up and seek God's face. Pray about it. Make it a matter of a prayer. Number three, maybe a little more practical, stay up to date with discipline. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." I really doubt there's one father or mother here that enjoys the responsibility of disciplining a child. And that could be one reason why parents could become lax in discipline. Another reason might be because we are too busy or we don't want to be interrupted with what we are doing. Perhaps we wait until there is a pileup of transgressions and then we take care of it. A lack of discipline or delayed discipline, I believe, will only add stress and frustration in our homes. We know that discipline is not joyous. It's hard, but we believe what the Bible says is truth. It's God's word to us, and this verse goes on to say that if we discipline when needed, it brings the fruits we are looking for. Proverbs 3:12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son in whom he delighteth." This verse says that discipline is an expression of delight in one's child. Do we see it that way, or do we find ourselves disciplining because we are frustrated? The more we delight, the more effectively we will discipline. And the more effectively we discipline, the more our children will delight. And this brings rest. It relieves stress. Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Those who don't discipline actually hate their children. That's an awful, awful thought. And we know what this will do to family life. Increase stress. Proverbs 29:17, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest." Rest. And I believe God wants us to experience rest in our homes. And to experience rest in our homes, we need to have children who are at rest. "Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul," the verse goes on to say. We must bring rest to the child's conscience. There have been times where I've been working, where I was working outside, and something occurred that required discipline, and I told the child that when we go inside, he's going to need disciplined. And it would have been much better to take care of it right away, but this particular child couldn't forget it and would remind me, or in that instance, reminded me once we got back inside. And that told me that his conscience bothered him. And we as adults know what it's like to live with a guilty conscience. There's no rest there. We need to bring rest to our child's conscience. Don't let them live under that guilt. Take care of the issues at hand so there's rest, so the air is cleared, and we can move on together. Number four, serve selflessly. I believe that our own carnal flesh is often at the root of all the stress we face as parents. It has been said that marriage shows us how selfish we really are. And I think the same could be said about parenting. But if you're a young couple here, I don't want to discourage you from having a family. I believe marriage and parenting both hold immeasurable joy when self is not controlling. You know, we try to teach our children not to be selfish. We teach them to share, to let others go first. But what about us as parents? As we evaluate our homes and the stresses we face, are we adding stress to family life because of our own selfishness? How will a self-focus manifest itself in us as parents? I'd like to just name a few things, and you may think of more. Number one is a self-focus will bring stress to family life because I will be concerned about my rights. We all think we have rights, don't we? Think back to the example I gave of us men coming home from a hard day at work. We're tired. I mentioned about our patience being spent. And it can be easy for us to think that we have rights. We are the breadwinner. We worked hard all day. We deserve a break. We can sit down. But the same could be for the mothers. They work all day as well, and they have the children to take care of all day as well. And maybe they think they deserve a break or would appreciate some help. As soon as we go down the road of selfishness, the stress level rises. If we can learn the joy of serving each other, even when we are tired and spent, the atmosphere is lightened, and our children learn something valuable, very valuable, from our example of selflessness. Number two, a self-focus will bring stress to family life because we will make unreasonable demands. We need to allow our children to be children and not hold them to an unattainable standard. And maybe some parents struggle with this more than others, I don't know. And obviously there's a balance in all of that, but when I as a parent allow myself to control my life, I can become overly concerned about things such as keeping the house or the vehicle spotless, getting upset when the children get their clothes so dirty while having fun playing outside, or making the house so messy, and on and on the list could go. But life is so much enjoyable, much more enjoyable as a family, stress-free if we can relax and enjoy life with our family. And be okay with some dirt, messes, and things that are less than the best. Number three is self-focus will cause stress in family life because we will use a lot of time for ourselves. What about those projects I like to do that don't include my family? What about time spent on my phone, computer, or tablet? Family life will become stressful when we do not prioritize or possibly root out things that are taking us away from taking care of the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of our children. I believe it becomes a cycle. If I am selfish, the needs of the children aren't met, and so they become irritable. They get into trouble, and then we get frustrated and stressed out, and it comes right back to my own selfishness and not taking time for them. Children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. And I want us to remember that. Children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. And Christ is a wonderful example for us parents. Turn with me to Mark 10. Mark 10 and verses 13 to 16. The disciples here were, I guess you could say, very carnal, very uncaring, not very passionate, compassionate. Let's read verses 13 to 16. And they brought young children to him, to Jesus, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Are we like the disciples in not caring enough about our children and their needs? Have we ever been guilty of sending them, pushing them away from our side because we were too busy, or we viewed them as a bother or as an interruption to what we thought was important? They are the important work, even if they interrupt us from our other work. Christ here points out the value of a child. And I asked my grandpa this weekend, I was talking about my assignment here, and asked him if he had any input. And this morning he told me that we need to give our children time today, right now, in this moment, because someday we'll need them. And if we don't give them time now, very likely they won't have time for us when we are older. Tremendous challenge. Let's take this example of Jesus. Suffer the little children to come unto us. Care for them. Value them. See them as eternal souls that need help to find their way to glory. Be parents who see the interruptions as a blessing in helping them develop into the person God wants them to be. How often do we take the time to sit with our children on our laps, listen to their stories, hear their hearts, hear what is important to them? Number four, a self-focus will cause stress to family life because we will train them so that my image is protected rather than for their good and God's glory. Have you ever dealt differently with behavior issues away from home versus at home? Or in the presence of company versus just alone as a family? Maybe that's something you don't struggle with. But I believe inconsistency is a great threat to home life. And where there is inconsistency, it often stems back to laziness and pride, perhaps selfishness in my own life. When I understand my accountability to God for the training of my children, I believe it will help me to be consistent. But if I'm more concerned about how I deal with behavior issues in front of others, because I am concerned about my own image, then likely I will face more problems and embarrassments when away from home. Genesis 18:19, speaking of Abraham, God says, For I know him. As God looked at Abraham, he saw him as a man that was going to be consistent. He says, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. What can God say of us? Truly, this should be of utmost concern. God saw Abraham as a man who was going to command his children in a way that they would choose to keep the way of the Lord, not so that his image would be protected. It wasn't for his glory that he was doing this. 2 Corinthians 5:15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Christ came and redeemed us so that we could find greater purpose for living, that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for Christ who gave himself for us. Christ was a servant. His ultimate goal was to please the Father, not himself, as he served among men. And the same should be true for us. Because of Christ's work on the cross, we live to please and glorify Christ, not ourselves. And when this is a reality in our lives, we will find that home life and parenting responsibilities take on a totally different meaning. And I believe it will relieve stress and help us deal with it properly. Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." How different would your home or my home be if we always chose to put on Christ and not make provision for the flesh? Think about it. Number five, battle the stresses with singing. In 2 Chronicles 20, we have the story of a battle. The Moabites and the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat. To battle, this brought tremendous fear to the children of Israel. And in verse 3, tells us that Jehoshaphat feared. And he sought the Lord and proclaimed a fast. We see in verse 4, people joined in praying and seeking God's face. Verse 13, we see that all of Judah was there, even the little ones, the wives, the children. And I'd like to pick up reading at verse 22, 2 Chronicles 20. I'm sorry, verse 20. Chapter 20 and verse 20. "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.' And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." And jumping down to verse 27, "And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat." I'm sorry, "And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies." I'm so impressed with this story. Here was a battle that was won with singing. These appointed singers were not just somewhere in the background singing. Tells us that they were out in front of the army, singing and praising the Lord. The singing gave them a mighty victory over their enemies. There is power in singing and praising the Lord. Singing does something very amazing in our hearts, in our homes, and in fighting battles. Our family loves to sing, and there were numerous times when things were not going so well, that we decided to sing. And wow, what a blessing, what a difference it makes for us to take our eyes, our minds off of our problems, our stresses, and focus on God. Just this weekend, we faced some unwanted circumstances. Our youngest son seemed to have had a touch of the flu yesterday. We weren't sure how this was going to play into our plans for coming here this evening. And something happened in my back. I threw something in my neck, and it was just very painful. My wife thanked the Lord that he was going to see us through it, and that really blessed my heart. And I'm here tonight. I feel a little bit in my back, but it's not bad. And our son woke up this morning feeling fine. 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing unto him, sing praises unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 13:6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 92:1-4, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. We face stress when we have our eyes off God and on our problems. So one way to help us get our minds off of our present stresses and difficulties is to sing. Let's be a singing people. Let's remember what God has done for us and let it come out on our faces and with our voices. There is tremendous power in praise. It's amazing how it can change our perspective. Now, I believe God wants us to be singing people, singing, have singing families. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, rejoice evermore. That doesn't give any time for getting stressed out and frustrated and upheavaled. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God is not in our complaining, and he's not in our stresses if we are focused on ourselves. Here's a little poem I came across. It says, oh, let us rejoice in the Lord evermore. When darts of the tempter are flying, for Satan still dreads, as he oft did of yore, our singing much more than our sighing. If you as a parent do a lot of sighing in your home, the stress will mount. Turn that around and put singing in its place, and God will help you fight the battles. 6, exercise communication. I wasn't sure how to word this one exactly, but I would like to emphasize the need for good marriage relationships and taking time for each other. Recently, someone shared with my wife that she was feeling very busy and overwhelmed with the pressures of life and realized that she was taking it out on her husband. And thankfully, they were able to talk it out and work through it. But if our marriage relationship is suffering, then stress is sure to increase in our homes. Maybe this is especially pertinent for the husbands. Take the time to ask your wife how her day was and really listen. Take an interest in how things are going, what she's facing, what she's struggling with. Be each other's best friend. Put forth effort into strengthening that relationship. And you will be able to face the stresses of family life much better as a united team. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dwell with them according to knowledge, I believe, means relate to them in an understanding way. It can be easy for us as men to maybe not be as good of a listener as we should be. Maybe you don't struggle with that. But as we relate to them, we need to remember that they are the weaker vessel. They care for the children day in and day out as we are at the job site. They need us. But along with this thought of them being the weaker vessel, we also need to remember that we are heirs together of the grace of life. I love that thought. We are one, joint heirs of the grace of life. Let's remember the need to be joined in spirit. Work together as a team for the blessing of our marriage and our family. I believe that's how God designed it. And we see the chaos, the ruin that is happening in the homes of the world around us when God is not present and God is not in that relationship and they're at odds with each other and the children take the brunt of it. God help us to strengthen those relationships. There is strength found in parents being one in Christ and fighting the battles of home life together. Lastly, number 7, for the fathers, find the proper balance between work and family time. Proverbs 15:27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. For us as fathers, there are dangers in us working too much. I don't feel like I am some magic person, but my wife declares that things go much better when I'm at home. And I think she means that it's just, it goes much better to have daddy at home to help care for the children, right? Children need that daddy figure in their lives as much as possible. And when we choose to work overtime and put in regularly long days, the tendency is there to bring trouble to our house, as this verse says. I believe this is something that we each need to find our way in, because depending on the vocation, it may require longer days. But let's think seriously about it. We are needed at home more than we realize. What are we most concerned about? What is most important to us? Our family, or work, that extra dollar. In eternity, what matters most? God help us. Well, I'm sure there is much more that could be said. May God bless each one of you, parents. We're in the battle. The stress of parenting. Let's keep a proper perspective as we raise our children. Most of all, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. A quote I came across says, stop focusing on how stressed you are and remember how blessed you are. You know, sometimes we can get so overwhelmed with the pressures of raising our children and dealing with problems day in and day out. And we forget how blessed we really are. God gave us these children. And they are valuable treasures that need our tender love and care. May God bless each one. Let's kneel for prayer.